Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. The story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Just a one-man show. This is just me. I am the editor. I am the producer. I am the script writer. I am the researcher. I am the everything. Okay, so bear with me. I'm really just trying to put this story out there because I don't think anybody has gone into it in such deep detail. And I started my channel on YouTube when this case was beginning. So I really know a lot about the case. I've been in touch with people related to the case several times. There's a lot of big following on social media, Facebook groups and everything. So I think that my purpose here is to bring you the story because it's super complicated. And from start to finish, it's hard to follow when you jump in the middle. So that is my intent. Now, last week, when I brought you the first part of this episode, this is episode 6, part 2. Charles Vallow's murder. When I brought you the first part of this episode, I did have a co-host and I did plan on her being my regular co-host, but I've come to the conclusion that that doesn't work for me. I am going to just do this myself and have guest co-hosts just because of my own time constraints in life. I'm a full-time registered nurse and, you know, life gets in the way. So in order for me to be able to do this at night and weekends and whatever, so I can drop a kick up, so I can drop a podcast episode every week for you. I think it's just the best case scenario for the podcast so I can get episodes out is just for it to be myself. So we will continue with that. And I'm sure I can find some great guests because they're out there and they've already told me they'd love to come on. But for today, let's just continue when Charles Vallow was murdered. I am going to start with the police officer arriving again. Now, this is a different angle from what you heard. This is the second police officer. Okay, so we'll start with that. Please pay very careful attention to what Alex Cox says to the police officer. He changes his story immediately. First, he says he was there alone. Then he says that his sister was there. Then he was said, well, they left to take JJ to school. I mean, it's just really crazy. He clearly did not, by any means, practice his spiel to the police. Although, remember, we did tell you there was a 43-minute delay from when he shot and killed Charles to when he called 911. So clearly Charles was long dead. And very obvious, when knowing it was 43 minutes, he was not doing CPR. That was all scam as well. It's just a travesty, really, when you think about it. From all accounts, Charles was a very, very good man, and he loved Lori, and he was trying so hard to get her help, and no one took him seriously. And look what happened. He was murdered. And Kay and Larry, Kay is Charles's sister, Larry is brother-in-law, have said that they really believe this was an ambush. And one more thing before I play this, Charles had converted to LDS faith for Lori. Lori was raised LDS, but for whatever reason, Lori had this big idea that she was a god, and that was put into her head by Chad Daybell. Chad is an author, and he wrote these books, and based on his near-death experience, it gets really wacky, but he had assigned Lori and told her that she and him were head of the 144,000, leading the followers into the new millennium, end of times, all that stuff, right? So Lori thought she literally was picked to be, I call her the queen and him the king. And so that began a really crazy set of events where Lori felt like Charles was a zombie, other people were zombies, that they, and when they spoke as zombies, they mean that, well, the definition that I've gotten, the clearest definition I've gotten on this bizarre wackadoodle zombie nonsense is that these evil spirits come in and take over a person, and that person's not there anymore. That person's in limbo. So according to what Lori was saying, believing whatever, and Alex obviously bought into this crap too, was that Charles' body was taken over by a man by the name of Ned Schneider. And Ned Schneider was basically the zombie inside of Charles. And the only way to free Charles' spirit to go and not be in limbo is to shoot his body that contained Ned Schneider. Don't ask. It doesn't make any logical sense in my world, but in theirs it did, which Lori definitely needed some help that she didn't get. Okay, so let me share this audio and again, pay particular attention to what Alex is telling the police officer.
Do you have the subject on the phone step out of the residence with his hands empty?
That does mean he's going to have to stop CPR.
That's fine. Fire's right up the street.
Who else is in the house? Okay, just have a seat right there. Let's get FD in here. Yeah. Have a seat.
18. Street secure. We got the gentleman out.
You have some ID on you, sir?
Yeah.
What happened today? How did it get to this?
I don't know. He was enraged.
What's going on? What happened?
Well, he was talking with my sister earlier.
No, what happened today, though? Like, just in the last 20 minutes.
He came at me with a bat.
Okay. Was he living here or visiting?
He came to pick up his son.
Okay, is the son inside?
No. My sister took him to school.
Okay, so it was just you at the house?
Yes.
And he came, how long, what time did he come to pick up the son?
I don't know, 20 minutes ago, maybe.
Okay, so you know who he is, let him in?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think they were talking earlier, then she left, and then he got into it with me.
Like what? What do you mean?
I don't know, he was accusing me of...
Come on over here. That truck's going to be really loud. What was he accusing you of?
He was just yelling at me.
Okay. What was he yelling at you about?
About my sister, because I've broken up a tussle with them earlier. And he told me not to interfere anymore with them or I'd pay. And he came at me with a bat.
Okay, so he showed up in the house with a bat in his hand?
No.
Okay, so.
There was a scuffle earlier with my sister and my niece. My niece got involved.
About earlier, meaning earlier this week, earlier
no,
this morning?
Just this morning, before they left.
Before your wife left?
My sister.
Before your sister left?
Yeah.
Okay, who lives here with you?
Nobody. I don't live here. My sister lives here and my niece lives here.
And you're just visiting?
I was visiting for the night.
Okay, so you're over here visiting your sister and
yes.
Your niece?
Yes.
Okay, and there was a tussle between your sister and her husband.
Yes.
And does the husband live here or no?
No.
Okay. Okay, is he an ex-husband or just current husband?
They're working on that.
Gotcha. So at some point earlier today, they get into some type of domestic?
Yeah, just this morning, then they left, and then he came at me.
They left meaning who? Both of the parties?
My sister took my niece and my nephew.
Okay, so they left.
Create some space with him, and then he came at me.
Okay, but did he leave also?
No.
He stayed here.
He stayed.
So you guys are kind of talking in between or what? Who are you? Who are you? No, just go back. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now already, if you notice, he left, he was there, he was enraged, He stayed. They left. None of it makes sense from the very beginning. They left. He came to pick up JJ. Why would they leave and he stay there with Alex? The story is so unrealistic coming out of his mouth that I can't believe that they just didn't just put the handcuffs on him right then and there. But they did not. They did not.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So you were just, so it's just you and, yes. And your brother-in-law.
Yes.
Okay. And kind of go through it. So, say something like, hey, don't touch my sister or.
Yeah. So what, yeah.
Okay.
And then he picked up the bat.
Where was the bat at?
In the living room.
Okay.
The guy inside me?
No, I haven't got it. Charles is the husband of the occupants here. But I guess he lives where?
Houston.
You know his date of birth?
No. From Houston?
Yeah. Is this vehicle here? How did he get here?
Is it here from Texas? No, that's my sister's car. I think it came in a rental car. I think my sister's in.
You think your sister's in the rental car? Okay. So you both, so you get in an argument. What is it over?
Well, it's over my sister. He was getting physical with her, and so my niece came out with her bat, and then he took the bat away from her.
Wait a minute, I thought you said your niece left.
She did. This was before.
So before your sister and your niece left.
Yeah.
At some point, your sister and her husband are arguing.
Yes.
Verbal argument. And then your niece pulls out a bat.
Well, it wasn't verbal. He was getting close, and she came out to defend my sister with her bat.
Your niece?
Yes.
Okay.
And then she poked at him, and then he took it away.
Okay.
And then I stepped in and told them they needed to separate.
Right.
So then my sister leaves with my niece.
And how long ago did they leave? Been like an hour, 10 minutes?
20 minutes, I don't know.
Okay, so not terribly long.
No.
Oh, okay.
And then he's coming back at me, and he's still got the bat in his hand. Like, what are you doing?
And where are you at? Where are you both at?
We're in the living room.
Okay.
And then I turned around, and he hit me in the back of the head with the bat. So I went to my room and got my gun.
So you went to your room, meaning the room you're staying in?
Yeah.
Okay, and you brought a gun with you?
This part has always bugged me because if you, he hit you with a bat and then you went in your room and got your gun and came back out, why wouldn't you just go in the room, lock the door, jump out the front window, run out the front door if somebody's attacking you? Why would you stop and go get your gun and come back? Sounds like he wanted to shoot him. Not just self-defense. I was so frustrated watching this. I mean, as you see things unfold, it's just bizarre. But at this point, it is unbelievable. I cannot imagine having been Charles's kids. He has two other sons from a previous marriage, not to mention his other family, his siblings, his nieces, nephews, everybody. I would have been so frustrated with this whole thing.
Hi, who are you? Okay, just stand over there for just a second, guys.
And then.
So right there, Lori and Tylee show up right at that moment. And he told them to go stand over there, which is the other side of the street, while he continues to talk to Alex Cox.
I told him to put the bat down, and he wouldn't, and he came at me again.
And the wife just showed up as well.
So you told him to put the...
Yes.
So where are you at? Where are you at now? Did you stay in your bedroom?
No.
Okay, why didn't you stay just in your bedroom, close the door? Is that something you didn't think about?
It didn't even occur to me.
Okay, so walk me through it. So you go back in your room.
So I just went back in the living room. Like, what is your problem?
With the gun in your
Yes. Head. And I said, I want you to put that bat down, and he wouldn't do it. He's like... And he came at me with the bat again. After he'd already hit me in the head, so I shot him to stop him.
Okay, and then what happened?
Okay.
Is it Alex or Alexander? What do you go by? Do you go by Alex or Alexander?
Alexander.
Okay. Do you live at
the...
Are you working now?
I'm on vacation this week.
Well, what do you do for a living?
Oh, I drive a truck.
Hey, I'm gonna get some tape.
Gotcha. The wife just showed up.
Yeah, I'm gonna get some tape.
Let's think that for a second. Where's the weapon at now?
It's in the bedroom.
You, so after you shot him, you put it back in the room, or?
Yeah, I went back to the bedroom to get my phone.
Okay. And what'd you do with your phone?
That's
okay. And then what'd you do once you put your gun back?
Grabbed
your phone.
I cleaned my head up.
After you, was he laying there in the living room?
Yeah, he was laying there still. It just took me a minute to compose myself. I mean, I was just shaking, and then I called.
Gotcha. Okay.
43 minutes. I think it was 42 or 43 minutes. He's so lying here. And dude makes it seem like it's really easy to get away with murder in this world. Really. Okay. You guys don't know what's going to happen. So I'm sort of hinting that he gets to leave at the end of this day. Again, this story gets really involved, and it takes, as you know, several years for everything to really start coming to light. So that's why I'm trying to just give you the story. But I am dropping spoilers along the way, because if I don't give you the spoilers, a lot of it doesn't make sense. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense, but it makes sense to me because I know what I know. Okay, we will continue.
We'll call 17 log. Stand by. I don't have engine 2811 and then Chandler Rescue. I don't have any water, so give me a second. Guys, hang tight just for a second. Don't go in there. Partner, hang tight. Don't go in there just now, guys. It's now a crime scene, so hang tight. Okay, cool. Because there's no, like, roughly how tall are you? What do you think you weigh? So about 6'1"? Is that the rental vehicle? Is it your husband? Okay. Oh, both these vehicles, yours in the driveway and the garage?
So at this point, he's approaching Lori and Tylee, who are standing across the street with a unidentified woman that has been there. And no one has ever been able to tell me who that is. But they're standing over with against a red car, which, you know, rental car, and waiting. And the police officer is now approaching them both.
Both your vehicles in the driveway and the garage? Okay. Give me just a second. I'll touch base with you. Just out of curiosity, how long have you known him? Long?
Yeah, 15 years.
Is that how long they kind of been married, kind of thing? Do you normally have a good relationship with the guy?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. When's the last time you guys saw each other, interacted? Oh,
last time I saw him was when he lived out here before he moved. Oh, actually, the last time I saw him was at my house. After my sister split up, came to my house once.
Sister, this sister?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
You may have to mess with your audio a little bit during this, because all this recording with Alex is based on the body cam of the police officer. So a lot of it is a little distance when Alex is talking sometimes if he's not right next to him. Just FYI.
So did you sleep here last night?
Yeah.
So what time did you about wake up this morning?
About 6:30 or so.
Normal day this morning, wake up. It's just you, your sister,
yeah.
Niece.
Gotta go do something fun today.
Anybody else in the house besides you three this morning?
My nephew's at school.
And it was just you, your sister, and the kids.
Yeah.
And then he comes over, and now it's about 20, 30 minutes ago, roughly.
Roughly.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
I couldn't understand what you were saying.
No, I just needed more units because the wife is not cheating.
I don't want to have to do that either.
So he's he lives in Santan Valley, just over here visiting.
Oh, okay.
On vacation. So
husband, I guess, lives in Texas, but I haven't got all that information. But the husband, deceased, doesn't live in the house. Lives out of state.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. So haven't even talked to her yet.
Okay.
Well, I'm waiting for CID to get here.
Yeah.
See what they want to do.
Okay. So do you So you only live in Santan Valley, so why is it just easier to just hang out here?
Just necessarily last night.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Are you and your sister pretty close?
Yeah, we're planning to go do something today.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to play the part where the officer approaches Lori, and she is clearly not distraught. not even questioning what happened, because remember, according to Alex, she wasn't even there. But they did have plenty of time via text and phone calls to get their story straight, since it took Alex, again, 42, 43 minutes to call 911. So, but listen to how unfazed Lori is. With all the police, the paramedics, house taped off, everything, how unfazed she is by all of this.
All right, let me get your information. Does your husband live here or no?
No. Oh,
gotcha. Okay. You guys know that. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Let me just get your, do you have a driver's license with you? I can just grab. Thank you. R-I. What does your middle initial stand for?
Noreen.
Noreen. N-O. R-E-N-V-A-L.
I know it's a little hard to, it is a little hard to hear her, but he asks if your husband lives here. And she says, no, he lives in Houston. So during the time they were separated, there's some backstory to that that we can get into later, but he was living in Houston and she was living in Arizona at this point.
What's a phone number for you, Lori?
Just FYI, non-public information has been redacted, so you won't hear that. So there are some blanks in the video.
You know, not in San Juan, this is your home.
Right, gotcha. Right. Okay. We just moved
here. Gotcha. How long have you guys lived here? Okay. How long have you lived here?
Like 3 weeks.
Oh, geez. Yeah, okay.
That's why the neighbors don't know us.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
Are you working at all?
No.
As police questioned Lori, she didn't appear rattled or upset, even laughing at one point.
How long have you lived here?
Like 3 weeks.
Oh, geez. Yeah, okay.
That's why the neighbors don't know us.
Gotcha.
Like, hi, neighbor, sorry.
Arizona detectives say throughout Lori's interview with police, she wasn't fazed.
So I am clipping out a lot of the dead air. There's a lot of dead air where the police officers kind of moving around and talking to other police officers and stuff. And it's just kind of background talking, nothing pertinent to this.
Okay. And you're still about 5'6", 120.
Mm-hmm. Something really interesting there when he asks her how much she weighs, 120. And she's like, uh-huh. Tylee says something. Tylee is overweight, clearly overweight, right? But Lori is very vain in her own appearance. Her hair is curled. She's dressed nice right now. And so the officer asks Lori, you about 120? And she's like, uh-huh. And she looks over at Tylee and says, what? So I don't know what that was there. Interesting, though, their dynamic.
Thank you, ma'am. Hello, young lady. Let me just get your information. How old are you?
16.
16? Okay. And that's mom? Okay, what's your first name, hon? How old are you again?
16.
16. Do you have a driver's license?
I do. It's inside.
Nice. So you're a new driver, huh? How do you like that?
Well, almost 17.
Almost up. So you're an old hat then.
Yeah, I drove here from Texas by myself, so I'm pretty used to it by now.
Okay. What's your birthday, hon? And you live here with mom?
Yeah.
Okay. You know how tall you are? What do you think you weigh?
Probably like 5'1", maybe.
Mm-hmm. What do you think you weigh?
160, maybe.
Okay. Red or brown? Oh, that's brown for sure. Blonde, too. You guys, I'm going to list you as a blonde young lady here. You got, and then blue eyes? You have very blue eyes. That's not under debate. Do you have your own phone number?
I do.
Okay, hang tight, guys.
No, no one. Is Lockwood? Yeah. Oh, okay. He hadn't, I haven't seen him yet.
I've had a coffee with a cop thing, so I'm.
Okay. Hey, Kite, I'll tell you what's going on.
So, well, I don't know that I'm taking this.
Gotcha. I'll hold off on that.
So, that's why I'm.
I don't know where Lockwood is.
I got texted an address, so I'm trying to figure out.
Gotcha.
You buckled in, sir?
At this point, they are going to take them all to the police station. The first officer that has been speaking with Alex puts him in the car and they chit-chat for a while. It's all recorded, but it's not. It's just chit-chat. It's not necessary to share it. I mean, you can go find it. It's on my YouTube video, but here we don't need to. It's nothing. They talk about the weather. They talk about blah, blah, nothing exciting. So they all go to the police station. They put Tylee in one room, Lori in another room, and Alex in a third room, and they interview each of them. We're going to start with Lori. So let's go ahead and listen to Lori's interview first with the Chandler police.
You know what? It's just a
struggle.
You go to school, I try to talk to the teachers, but in high school, okay.
You don't
hear
her
do the work, or don't. Like, they don't care.
Well, I think
with
high school, it's like,
they're
just pumping.
When she was in elementary and junior high, all the teachers worked with her. They were nice about it, but by high school, there's so many kids, they just don't care. Yes. And I was like, just take it. You're so smart. Let's just take it, see if you pass it. She passed it. Like,
and got a really good score?
Yeah, she passed it with, like, college ready. In every category, the first time.
Well, and now she can do what she wants. So
exactly.
She's better off that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know Lori's your first name, right?
Yeah.
L-A-U-R-I.
L-O-R-I.
Okay. And then what's your last name?
Vallow. V-A-L-L-O-W.
And your date of birth? And your phone number? And you live at the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, I know this sounds silly,
mm-hmm.
But it's probably the easiest way to start,
mm-hmm.
Is just to tell me what happened. And then, so you can start what makes the most sense to you, and we'll just work our way through, and I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions just to kind of clarify.
Sure.
So I know you talked to the initial patrol officer.
And he just got information.
Okay. So, yeah, if you can just kind of tell me kind of what happened. It sounds like some of this may have started last night or something along those lines.
Right.
So start where you think it makes the most sense.
Okay. So,
I told you, it's a crazy question.
Well, so we moved into this house 3 weeks ago because he offered to get me a house here where all my family is.
Okay.
We were in Houston. And, so he's like, we had decided to separate or whatever. So
mm-hmm.
He's like, well, I'll pay for a house for you and for JJ and whatever, because he's all about JJ. He's never about Tylee, but he's all
mm-hmm.
about JJ. Because
mm-hmm.
we adopted him together. He's
okay.
His great nephew. We adopted him as a
okay.
baby. And so we adopted him as a baby, and so we've been raising him together. And he travels all the time for business, so he's used to just going back and forth. So he's always gone like Monday through Friday. So he came when we first moved in and brought me stuff from Houston, like a U-Haul. And then he hasn't been back. But it's all these threats on my phone all the time, you know, like whatever, all these things. And then he told me.
What kind of threats?
Just. You have to read them to me.
She's as vague as Alex.
Right? Okay. And he doesn't want a divorce, but I don't like him and don't want to deal with him.
She's as vague as Alex. What kind of threats? You'd have to read him. Alex on the curb. Well, what kind of threats? What was he saying? I don't know. He's just yelling at me. I don't know. All right, we'll continue.
So that's just how it is. Like, so we married for 14 years. We've dealt with it for 14 years of him being horrible to her. Like, he gets in huge fights with her. A lot of things. But anyway, so he said, I'm coming Wednesday night, all of a sudden. I want to see JJ. And I told him, I said, I will never keep JJ from you. You can come see him whenever you want to. Come take him to school, whatever. Like, I'm not going to do that.
So when you initially moved, he had said he was going to buy you a house. So you moved here with your
parents. Yeah, he was going to rent us a house.
And so we moved.
All my family lives here. So
right.
We lived here for a long time.
Okay.
And then he moved us to Houston.
Okay.
And we were there with my son. He was out of school. He didn't have any of his, like, services, his DVD, his
yeah.
anything. He, like, ripped him out of school and said, we're moving.
Okay.
And I didn't go with him at first. He took him. And I let him take him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't file anything or whatever. And then he filed something against me and said, I'm only going to get supervised visits because I'm crazy and blah, 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 you know, the story. And so I just didn't talk to him for like 30 days and
mm-hmm.
let him take care of him and let him see what I've been doing for
yeah.
the past 7 years, because men need to do that. You know, I have 5 kids.
Yeah.
I have grown kids. I have grandkids.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're going to threaten me that you're not going to let me see my child without supervised visitation.
Yeah.
Okay, do it for 30 days and see how long it lasts. You're
right.
begging me to come pick him up.
Yeah.
But she did. Just like, come back and whatever. So I moved in with them to Houston
okay.
to, for the family, you know, and Tyler went with me. We drove to Houston from here and left all our family and all his support, all my
yeah.
son's support, like his cousins, everything. And we were there. And I enrolled him in school there. I tried to start all his services, and it takes forever.
Yeah.
You know, it takes so long
mm-hmm.
to get that done.
There's no easy transfer.
You
start from the beginning.
It's a totally new thing.
Yeah.
And he didn't do any of it
mm-hmm.
in those 30 days. So he just had gone without services, without even applying. And I'm like, do you even realize? Because he didn't ever do it in the
mm-hmm.
first place. I did it. Long story. I'll keep it short. He hasn't been here in a couple weeks since we moved in.
Okay.
He came. He was very nasty when he was there. But he travels for business. So he went back to the Houston house.
Okay.
And he's like, I'm coming on Wednesday night, and I'm going to come pick up JJ and take him to school Thursday, pick him up Thursday, take him Friday, whatever. And I said, Casey wanted to come to the house. And I said, you can't come stay at this house because you can't get along with Tylee. She's a minor. She has to live here.
Yeah.
So you, because he gets in huge fights up there.
Okay.
And she hates him. And so I'm like, you can't stay at the house. So I will book you a hotel, because he stays in hotels all the time because he travels for business
mm-hmm.
and the business pays for it. Right.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I will book you a hotel nearby.
What does he do?
He works with teachers and their retirement plans, but he goes to them at their school.
Oh, okay.
He mostly works in California.
Okay.
No matter where we live. And we
okay.
lived in Hawaii. He'd work in California. He'd work in Texas. He has like books of business in different
okay.
areas. And so he just goes wherever.
Okay.
It kind of just gives him freedom that he doesn't have to stay home every day and take care of special needs.
Yeah.
It's like an excuse there. Right. So I've done that myself for the last 7 years. Anyway. And I was a single mom before I married him with my 2 kids.
Yeah.
And he had 2 kids. We got married, tried to make a family.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he said he was coming last night. I said, well, you can't stay at this house because you can't get along with Tylee. I'll get you a hotel and you can come play with JJ. But he goes to school all day.
Yeah.
I got him back into his school. His services, I met with the DDD yesterday and they finally are getting his services back. But we're paying $125 a day to have him back at school because he's so out of his routine. He's been
yeah.
a nightmare on the floor, kicking stuff, hitting stuff, walls. Like, he just ripped him out of his life.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Just how he is, because no one thinks about himself. So
mm-hmm.
he says, come and get JJ. And JJ's like, I don't want dad, because he knows dad took him away. So he was freaking out,
okay.
right? So I didn't tell him he was even coming. Like, dad's going to come take you to school, I think. So he didn't bother me last night, which I was surprised. I was expecting kind of an ambush for him
uh-huh.
to kind of, like, come over or be just mean.
Uh-huh.
And say, that's my house. I'm on the lease. I'm going to stay here kind
uh-huh.
of thing. Because that's kind of his macho attitude.
Uh-huh.
And so he came this morning. I was getting JJ ready.
So he got in last night,
yeah.
but he wasn't at the house last night.
Yeah, I didn't hear from him. Except
okay.
for he texted me and said, I'll be there at 7:30 to pick up JJ.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. That was good. She didn't hear from him. And then he came over in the morning and he's like banging on the door. I'm like, oh, great. Here we go. You know, and I was just going to be nice. I'm just going to be nice as possible. And I had JJ stuff all ready for school. So
do you remember about what time he got there?
He said he'd be there 7:30, but it was more like 7:40-ish
okay.
or 7:35. I don't know.
Okay.
But I remember thinking, looking at the clock, and he was at that 7:30. And he's usually Mr.
Yeah.
On time. Yes. So I was like, okay. And then JJ was like, oh, dad. And then he was like, mommy. And like ran to me. And was like holding me. He's like, you're not taking me to school. And I was like, it's okay, dad. I can just drive you to school. It's not
yeah.
a big deal. You know, I'm just trying to make it whatever.
Calm.
Yeah, calm. And then he's just being real smirky and real like jerky, you know, to me. And I was like ignoring him, whatever. And so he was like,
Your brother lives there with you?
No.
Okay.
He had stayed with me last night because I was worried he was going to come over and cause trouble with me.
Okay.
And just wanted someone else there, like my brother there, because I trust my brother. And it's been a long story. Like, I had to go live at my brother's when he took JJ. And, you know, he's just been difficult. So,
yeah.
Anyway. So I got Jada stuff ready. And he was like, well, and he's like this about timing. He's like, I'm leaving in 20 minutes because it's like 15 minutes to the school and like you can't get there early. They don't open the gates until like 8:20 or something like that. And I said, well, why don't you just go now? I don't want him in the house. I'm like, why don't you just go now and take him to Burger King because that's what he likes for breakfast. And he's very particular about food.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted chicken fries for breakfast and the Sprite. Like, and I just can't believe that because if you don't get what he wants, then it's like on the floor screaming, dragging him into school. Like, and he's big and he's heavy and hard for me to handle. But anyway. So I said, just go. And so he said, okay. So I gave him a backpack. He got in the car. This is his MO, right? He always leaves something in the house and comes back. He never leaves the first time. I always expect my husband to come back into the house, right? So I guess he had left his phone on the counter.
So he initially left with the backpack and with JJ? And
so he put them in the car,
okay,
in the driveway, and then he came back in, right? So I kissed JJ goodbye. He came back in, and his phone was on the counter, and I had his phone. And he was, like, giving me my phone, and I was like, why don't you show me your text that you've been texting, blah, 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 you know, whatever. Because he's, like, acting really weird, like he's plotting something against me. Like, I'm like, why are you even here? Like, what did you come here for, you know? He's been talking to my other brother, and my brother came into town at the same time last night. And I haven't talked to my brother in a while, my other brother. And I was like, and so he was texting him on the phone when he first got to my house. And I'm like, why are you texting Adam, like, do you even talk to him? Like, my other brother. And, you know, he's been telling me all these texts, like, you're going down, blah, 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 blah. He's blaming me for our marriage breaking up and my niece getting divorced and my friend getting divorced. He said, I'm a destroyer of families because I want everybody to get divorced. I'm like, what would my motivation be for people getting divorced? So I could babysit the kids more? Like, why would I have any control over what people do?
Yeah.
So it's just very odd. But anyway, he goes nuts. He's gone nuts on us a lot of times. Ted and I have had to leave with JJ over the years, probably 5 times, and just stay in a hotel for 2 days because he goes nuts. Like, you don't know what's going to set him off. Like, whatever. And she's mad at me for always, like, going back. But we had JJ, and he's special needs, and it's really hard. Like, it's even harder to get rid of.
So when you say he goes nuts, that can mean a lot of different things.
Right.
So goes nuts like yelling and screaming.
Yeah,
goes
yelling
nuts,
and screaming.
Like breaking,
like,
things.
Yes.
Goes nuts like physical violence.
He's never really, besides like grabbing us and pushing us, but not like punching us or something. But with Tylee, he has gotten physical before. And with my grown son.
Like physical how?
Like got into a physical fist fight with my son when he was 16.
Okay.
And he came after Tylee 2 times in Hawaii.
Okay.
And, like, went like he was going to hit her, but then I got in between them.
Uh-huh.
Right.
How old was she when that happened?
Probably 14, 13 and 14.
Okay. So this morning he comes back in and...
He comes back in. I haven't given his phone. He was screaming at me to give him his phone. He was very worried about whatever was on his text that he did not want me to see. And so I was just holding it there and he was screaming at me. And I was kind of walking towards around the house with it so he couldn't get it. He's like reaching for it and stuff like that. And so Tylee came out of her room upset and she had a bat. And she told him to leave her mother alone, like, right? So she was really whatever. And he's screaming at her, don't you hit me with that bat, blah, 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 blah. And then my brother heard all the commotion because he was in there. And so he came out into the main room and I guess whatever.
What's your brother's name?
Alex.
Alex, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then he just started, he was screaming and he was super upset and whatever. And he's yelling at Tylee, don't you hit me with that bat, and blah, blah, blah. And so Tylee, I guess, I don't know if she swung at him or what, but he, like, grabbed the bat from Tylee and then went to, like, hit Tylee with the bat. It was, and I was right there, and they were right there, and my brother grabbed him from behind, mm-hmm. like just to stop him from hitting Tylee.
You go like this, like he grabbed him, like
yeah, from behind, like just kind of to pull him back, and then they got into the thing. He's hitting him with the bat, and they're on the ground, like grappling around or whatever. And then, I mean, it was all
and he
quickly
and he hit your brother with the bat while they were grappling and stuff.
Yeah, yes, he was hitting him with the bat, like swinging the bat, you know, back and forth, and they were kind of like on the ground, and I was like freaking out trying to go around, knowing JJ was in the car,
yeah,
right? And so then he got up, and he had the bat like this towards me, and I was going around the other side to try to just get out of his range where he couldn't hit me, and then I had told Tylee, because she was on the ground, because after he took the bat from her, she fell back. And so I told her, I was like, go get in the car with JJ. Like, I don't want JJ coming in to the house. Or, and I wanted her out of the way. I wanted the kids out of the way, whatever this fight was going to be. And then...
do you remember what your husband or your brother were saying or yelling during all of this? If they were at all?
Just kind of... get off me, ow, or whatever, you know, whatever. They were like, don't talk to my niece about whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, like, it was, I don't remember specifics, but they were kind of both, they were kind of in the heat of it. I don't think there was much,
many words
that I remember.
So Tylee goes outside.
Yeah, she was outside.
And then what happened?
Then they got up from that, and my brother had, like, stepped back, I guess, and, then Charles was coming with me at the bat and yelling at me to give him his phone still because I had it in my hand. It was all really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went around kind of in the circle, then my brother was there.
When you said when you were going around and he was coming at you with the bat,
mm-hmm.
how was he holding the bat?
Just like that, like backwards.
Like he was swinging, but like swinging it backwards. You would have done
like he would have swung it backwards at me, not frontwards.
Okay, yeah.
He was a professional baseball player.
Okay,
so it wasn't a good idea for Tyler to get out of that.
Probably not the.
I mean, he played semi pro.
Yeah,
when he was young. But yeah, and then I was kind of turned around. And we were all right there in that room, except for the kids had been outside by that time, and I heard the gunshot.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you heard the shot?
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually see the shot, or did you just hear it?
I had gone around
mm-hmm.
to the kitchen to get away from him, and so back around. So I don't know if you went in the house.
I didn't, so I'm like a little bit of a disadvantage.
Yeah, so... I didn't see the shot. I heard it, and then I came back around, and I saw that he was on the ground, and was freaking out,
yeah.
And so I was just freaking out, and I just went into mom mode. I'm like, I've got to go to get JJ to school, I've got to get to the kids, I got to get to the kids,
mm-hmm.
and so I just went outside, and to see if they were in there, okay, I didn't want them coming back in the house when all that was going on, and got JJ in the car, and he was trying to come in,
mm-hmm.
and Tylee was, like, looking at me with, like, the crazy eyes, like, what just happened, and I told her to get in the car and run and take JJ to school,
mm-hmm.
and I just left.
When you came back in and you saw him on the ground, where was your brother? Did you see him, where he was at?
Yeah, he was right in front of him.
Okay.
Like, it all happened very quickly. That
right.
I feel like I was there, because I was right there, like,
yeah.
a second later. Like,
okay.
I just went around the kitchen to get away from him.
Did your brother say anything to you at all? Do you remember?
No, we were both just in shock.
Okay.
Like, it was just I didn't say anything. I went out with the kids just to check on them first, and I was going to come back in maybe, but I didn't. I was like, I just have to get him to school and call the police and come back, you know. Whatever.
Did anybody say any, did you or your brother say anything at some point about calling the police or calling 911? Do you remember?
Yeah, he called me.
Okay.
And he said, are you taking JJ to school?
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, we need to call the police. And he said, okay.
Okay. So he called you when you didn't come back inside, basically?
Right.
Okay.
Because I was like, in the car for a minute, and then I was like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I didn't want JJ to go inside, and I didn't know what to do, and Tyler was freaking out. I was trying to get them away from the scene.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, I don't, and you may not know this, mm-hmm. so, because I know you heard the shot, do you know at what point your brother had the gun? Do you know if he had it when they got in their first fight, or did he have to go get it, or do you know that at all?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
And do you remember if you ever heard your brother?
I didn't see him ever leave the room.
Okay.
It was so fast. All that was so fast. Like,
yeah.
Him on the ground, rolling around, and I'm screaming. And
this probably happened in a couple seconds.
Yeah. I mean, it was, like, super fast.
And I don't know if you know this or not. Does your brother normally carry a gun? Like, I carry a gun everywhere I go.
Right. Like,
so,
I know he's a gun person. Like,
okay.
He has guns and things.
Okay.
He's good with guns.
Did you know that he had one with him?
No.
When he came over?
No. But
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did. Because
okay.
He's very... very professional with guns.
Proficient, professional. Mm-hmm. Responsible is usually a good
right,
but I'm
responsible with guns.
And then do you remember if at any time, so you were trying to get away from him,
right.
And you heard the shot. Prior to the shot, do you remember at any point hearing your husband or your brother saying anything to either of them?
No.
So my second very ridiculous question
mm-hmm.
is there anything else that I didn't ask about or anything that we didn't cover that you think is important? I always ask that just because I wasn't there, and so we're
right,
going through
right,
something that happened
right.
A super small amount of time.
Yes.
So, yeah, go for it.
So she just sits up in like a cross leg on the chair. Is it okay if I sit like this? And closes her eyes like she's going into some meditative state. And in my opinion, she probably went to her portal. You guys don't know about her portal yet unless you've been following this story. But apparently Chad Daybell and Lori have portals where they can transfer themselves from wherever they're at to the other person via a portal. Just wait till you hear the zombie email. Oh my gosh, there's so much to tell you about this story. I'm afraid I'm going to forget stuff because there's so much. But yeah, spoiler alert, there's a portal. Uh-huh. And so I just picture Lori when she's closing her eyes here is trying to take herself to Chad via her mind portal. Bizarre. I understand. It's very bizarre. I know what you're thinking. Here we go.
He was just so angry, like super scary.
Did you
know how you take your phone away from like a 16-year-old
uh-huh.
and you freak out?
Uh-huh.
Like their world disintegrates. Like I've taken my phone away from a 16-year-old boy before and
uh-huh.
he like he's like wanted to kill himself because
yeah.
like they cannot function. That's how it was. It was like is something on his phone that he does not want me to see that
uh-huh.
he was like freaking out
mm-hmm.
like to the point where I thought he would hit me in the back of the head to get the phone.
Okay. So you thought, and not, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you thought it was possible that he was going to hurt you.
Absolutely. He was going to hurt me and
okay.
Tylee.
Okay.
Not JJ. He would never hurt JJ.
Okay.
And he hurt my brother. Like,
yeah.
He was going like ballistic about it was that.
Okay. I'm going to go talk to her real quick.
Okay.
And then if obviously, you know, we'll be here for a little bit, hopefully not too much longer. But if you think of anything or there's anything that kind of pops in your head or something else that we didn't cover, obviously.
Okay.
So I'm going to go talk to her for just a little bit and then I'll kind of come back and check with you. And then we'll kind of go from there. So I know my partner's talking to your brother over in one of the other interview rooms. So we're going to just try to get, you know, as much done as we can and go from there. Okay. And then, is there anybody that you need to call or anything, or you want to wait a little bit?
I don't know what I would say.
And wait a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know what I would say.
And if you want to, you can think about it. So we do have victim services that work within the police department. They're right over here. They're not cops. They're civilians. And they do, Jessica, who was out there with the fire department, so they're kind of our crisis response. They come right away. Mm-hmm. So our victim services that work in the department are kind of more long-term type support system. So they're just a really good resource because they do a lot of stuff with our families and things like that and can help with support services and questions you might have.
She's been through so much.
So it might be a good idea.
I just can't stand for her to have to go through all this.
Yeah. It might be a good idea maybe before I take you guys back today that I get one of them to come in and maybe sit and talk with you guys and see. And it's not something there's a bunch of stuff they can, you know, offer, but it's good to have a contact and like a name and a face and a phone number. You know, that way maybe a couple days from now, a week from now, or if there's something going on or you think you need help with something, it may not be something that's necessarily up like me and my partner's alley, but it very much will maybe up theirs. So I'd like for you to meet one of them before we leave. That way, hopefully if there's something that they can help you and your daughter with, they can, or even JJ or whatever else.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I even thought about him.
Yeah. So
I mean, he's used to him not being there, but he wouldn't understand even if you told him.
Right.
Like, that somebody passed away, he doesn't understand
what that means. Well, I mean, it's hard at 7 to understand that.
Anyway, that's true. But with him, he just doesn't. Which is probably better because he doesn't comprehend things. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just, it's a lot to think about.
Yeah. So let me go find one of them, and then we'll make sure that you guys get to meet with them before you leave, because that might be something very helpful for you guys. And I'm going to go speak with your daughter for just a little bit, and we'll kind of go from there. Okay? And if you need anything, let me know, okay? Okay. I like your daughter a lot.
She's fun.
Yeah. So one of the victim services, Denise, is here. So I kind of told her just a little bit of what happened. Mm-hmm. So if you're good with it, I'm going to have her come over and I'm going to introduce her to you guys so you guys can talk for a little bit, which kind of works well too because I need to run over to where my partner's at and just talk to him a little bit. That way you guys will have a little bit, hopefully, extra support if you need it. So I'm going to go grab Denise real fast and then introduce you guys. Okay. So this is Denise.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry. So
she's going to take you over to like a conference room so you guys can sit and talk and stuff. And then you can just, once you guys talk and kind of, you can decide if you're comfortable with Tylee coming in or whatever.
Okay, sure.
And then we'll
I just don't want her to be left alone by herself.
Yeah.
She's freaking out.
Like, so we keep kind of popping in and checking on her and stuff.
I just don't want her to be alone too long.
Yeah.
We'll be as brief or as long as you want.
Okay.
I'm here to try to, you get lots of choices when you talk. So we'll just get started and then we'll go from there. Does that sound okay?
They handed me this, but this was just out of his rental car.
We tend to do strange things sometimes.
So that was the end of Lori's interview there. There's still so much to cover just based on this day. I think I'm going to end it there. And when we come back next week, I will let you in on Tylee's interview and some of the aftermath of all this, including the Woodcocks calling Detective Moffitt at the Chandler Police Department and telling them that they're really concerned. They believe that this is not an accident, and you'll hear it's just
bizarre as everything continues to unfold. It's just really bizarre. So we'll end here with Lori ending interview, but we will be back to all of this before we move on to when the children disappear. Because I want you to keep that in your mind when you do hear Tylee's interview, that eventually Tylee goes missing. And thank you so much for listening to Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult. If you are new and you'd like to support my channel, there are links in the show notes below. Also, if you want to go back and see all of this unfold via video style, go ahead to Left Undone, Incomplete Investigations. That is my YouTube channel for this show. I'm Kathy Brooks. Thank you for listening, and I will be back next week. Take care, stay safe, be well. Bye-bye. Music by Dan Lebowitz.